America has enjoyed peace and prosperity like no other nation. 9-1-1 showed us how vulnerable we are. America turned to God in prayer. Churches were filled on weekdays. The NFL canceled games. Republican and Democrat congressmen prayed together. How quickly we forgot God, though. This year, let us humble ourselves and pray, seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, so that He might hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Brian Longworth.
This year we will remember the anniversary of 9-1-1. And I know there are people in this country that weren't even alive. 9-1-1. Our kids were alive, but our son was less than a year old. He was only a few months old, so he doesn't remember any of it. And sadly, in some schools, kids aren't being taught about what happened 9-1-1. In fact, there are even a lot of conspiracy theories and ideas about what might have happened and why it happened. But if you were alive and you were old enough to remember, I'm sure you know probably where you were when you heard about what happened. We watched in my house the first tower being hit by a plane, and then I went to work. And we had a television, an old tube TV with rabbit ear antennas, and we turned it on and watched the second tower be hit. And after that, you may recall that there was a big change in people's mentality and what people were thinking, and really people, it was amazing. Republicans and Democrats actually got together on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. and sung God Bless America. I mean, most of the time they hate each other, but they actually sang God Bless America. Churches were open throughout the week, and people were coming into churches and praying on behalf of America. And we actually preached a sermon. My dad and my brother and myself, we all preached a sermon. We were supposed to only preach for a few minutes each, like maybe 10 minutes each. But we ended up all preaching about a full sermon right after that. And I started out my part of that sermon with this. The Bible tells us in Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. The United States of America has enjoyed the greatest of God's blessings and protection over the years. The Lord has guarded our cities and our country from attacks from within and without. Yet the Lord wasn't guarding our city 9-1-1. And many will ask, why was He not guarding our city? I will say that it is because we as a nation have left His commandments. We as a nation have departed from the principles, the moral foundation that this nation was founded upon. Many, even in the church, have thought that America is so great that God couldn't possibly fulfill His purpose in this earth without America. The Israelites once thought that. After 30 or 40, even 70 years of captivity for some of them, they realized that God can accomplish His purpose without His chosen people. And we're not even His chosen people. Now the church is, Christians are, But God hasn't come down and said, America is my chosen nation. Now, our forefathers did make a covenant with God. And that covenant does bring blessings when we obey God's commandments. And it brings curses when we disobey his commandments. And we have disobeyed the commandments of God. And God promises in his word to judge any nation that violates his precepts. I warned about this in 1989 or 1990 when I preached a sermon in this church, warning that this nation was going to experience the judgment of God if we didn't turn and repent. Sadly, we haven't turned until now. 9-1-1 was a wake-up call for America to turn back to God. It was a call for his church to fall on our knees and cry out on behalf of this nation. Oh God, may this nation once again serve you. May this nation once again honor you. May this nation once again fear your name and obey your commandments. May we once again have pastors and political leaders who will call this nation to repent before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. May we turn to God and serve him with all of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our strength, with our whole being. And I mentioned already that right after 9-1-1, churches were open, people were coming to those churches, people were praying. People around the world were praying for America. People were in London and other countries, had various, they set up candles and they lit candles and they were praying for America. And we even had a lot of nations that joined us in fighting against terrorists. And certainly the war and the way it was carried out wasn't necessarily done in the best manner. But one thing that did happen, sadly, and really it was amazing. You saw baseball games being canceled, really at the heart of the playoff run. NFL football games being canceled, it really brought us to a halt. The stock market closed. People really stopped and thought and prayed. But sadly, people went back to their old way of doing things and went back to life and really didn't continue the urgent call to prayer and repentance. And we're going to talk today about what we need to repent of. Because, you know, there are some people that actually talk about America being an evil nation and America being evil from its inception. And there are people that will tell you that America is wicked because we had slavery. Well, you know what? Those people are ignorant of history. Throughout history, every individual race has owned slaves and has been slaves. Every different ethnicity. And the African slaves, I mean, this was something that was done all throughout the world. And Africans were capturing Africans and selling them as slaves. Now, it doesn't make slavery right, but we fought in this nation to end slavery. England fought, Wilberforce fought and ended slavery in England. And slavery still exists and is still legal in about half of the nations in the United Nations. And those people who cry out and say America is evil because we allowed slavery without thanking God and thanking this nation that we rose up and ended slavery in this nation, those people, you don't hear them crying out against the nations that allow slavery right now today. Right now, today, there are people that are being held as slaves, including in China, including in many of the countries in Africa, being held as slaves. I'm not really referencing the same type of thinking that you hear people, those people talking about. What I'm talking about is violating God's commandments. And certainly, owning slaves was a sin, and was a sin that our founders knew we would have to address, and also a sin that they knew that this was a sin that would bring God's judgment upon this nation. Benjamin Franklin said as much, that he trembled. He trembled when he knew that God was a just God, and he looked at what we had done in this nation. The Pilgrims came to this nation and made a covenant with God. The Puritans came to this nation and made a covenant with God. And there were times that they departed from that covenant, and they would experience God's judgment upon themselves. And they would turn and repent and cry out to God for forgiveness. And God would forgive, and God would bring them back into a place in right standing with him, and once again return his blessings unto them. When there was an Indian uprising, they would search themselves. They would see, have we sinned? Have we violated God's commandments? Have we done what God required of us to do? And there was, before this country could be a country, there was something that needed to happen in this country, because what was happening was people were moving away from the churches. They were moving away from the cities. They were expanding. Expansion was necessary, but they were doing this without first building a church, without first connecting, and they were so far away that they were neglecting coming to Christ, coming to God, coming to worship, celebrating, and actually living. And of course, if you're not fellowshipping with God, there's a good chance you're probably also not reading the Bible, and you're not praying, and you're not doing what God has called you to do. And to we're people that we have to constantly be reminding ourselves what God wants us to do. That's why Jesus said, you need to abide in my word. If you abide in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's not something that you do every now and then. It's not something that you should do even just once a week. It's not something you should do just reading one verse a day. You need to get into the word of God and read it. And so the Pilgrims, or the Puritans, actually were having this issue, and they weren't actually putting God first. They even had what they called the halfway covenant, because their children and grandchildren, they wanted them to be a part of the church, but they kind of said, well, you know, because I'm a Christian, then we'll bring you into the church because I'm a Christian, and you don't really have to make your profession of faith and all the other things that you should do, and really the things that they had to do. There was a need for a great awakening in this nation, and there was a great awakening. There was a shaking. And you probably have heard about the sermon I've even preached on it a long time ago, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, from Jonathan Edwards. He was one of the ones. Whitfield was another one, and that was working in, and you know, they were going about on horseback. Places where there wasn't a bridge, they would just cross the river with their horse and travel to the next city. And there were people that were praying that God would shake this nation. And God did shake this nation. And you had actually a great, what is known as the Great Awakening. This all happened before the signing of the Declaration of Independence. It happened before the Revolutionary War, and it was a necessary step to bring the nation back to God. And then one of the things that did happen with this nation, we actually couldn't end slavery. without being a nation. You may not know this, but the first anti-slavery law was passed in the early 1600s by the Pilgrims. And you actually had Virginia abolishing the slave trade before the Revolutionary War, before we were a nation. Yet the King of England nullified that law. And so they needed to come together as a nation. And one of the things that they needed to do is they needed to compromise on slavery, because the southern states never would have agreed to be a part of this nation. The northern states couldn't end slavery unless they actually had the southern states and unless we became a nation. And yet slavery was not dealt with. It wasn't dealt with, and we didn't end it. And then before the Civil War, which really one of the big issues was slavery. It was certainly whether states could do whatever they wanted to do, but what they wanted to do, the southern states wanted to own slaves. Not all the people, but the slave owners certainly wanted to own slaves. So you actually had a need to once again turn back to God. And there was what was called the Second Great Awakening that happened at that point as well. And we need a great awakening today. And I'm going to go over the sins of this nation. And a lot of these will be chronological. But the first and really the foundational part of this is replacing creation science with evolution. This is the core. We talk about this quite a bit. I talk about this quite a bit. If you believe that there's a God, then you believe that you're subject to his laws and his standards, and you're going to believe that you need to conform yourself to him. But if you believe that there's no God, which many people today in America believe there's no God, then you have no basis for morality other than what you yourself and other people determine to be right. How would you know what is right and what is wrong? Well, what is right for you may not be right for me, and what is right for me may not be right for you. That's not true, but that's the thinking. If there's no God, if there's no standard, and then you can be a law unto yourself. And so this is really where it all stands. You destroy that foundation of there being a God. We have generations of students, generations of Americans that have never been taught in school that God created the heavens and the earth, have never been taught about the complexities of our human body. Even the most simple cell, we've talked about this, I've talked about this when I've talked about evolution and how preposterous it is that all of this could have just happened randomly. And that through genetic mutations, you could actually have something that is now human life. The simplest cell in our body has 8 different components that all have to work for that cell to work. And that's the simplest cell in our body. You can't have evolution creating that, because evolution can only create one thing at a time. But we went on, 1962, Engle versus Vattel, the Supreme Court removed prayer from public schools. Now, we've talked about this. When the Constitution was formed, when the First Amendment, the Bill of Rights was enacted, the Bible was the primary reading book. Prayer was legal in schools. Kids were encouraged to pray. The Pilgrims, or the Puritans, actually started public schools for the purpose of teaching kids to read so that they could read the Bible, and they did read the Bible. Another book that was used was the New England Primer, which taught biblical principles. There was a rhyming alphabet, and A in Adam's fall, we sinned all. B talks about the Bible. I don't remember all of the rhyming alphabet. I have read it here in some of the past sermons, but that was their primary, the Bible and the New England Primer was their primary reading book back then. So the Supreme Court removes prayer from public schools in 1963. They removed the Bible from public schools in Abington versus Shimp. Another thing that happened in the 1960s, we had the sexual revolution, the idea that you can do whatever you want to do with whoever you want to do it, and there are no consequences. Of course, there are consequences. Some of those consequences are children that weren't intended and weren't planned because someone was just wanting to have fun one night. And so you have abortion. And in 1973, in Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton, we had the legalization of abortion. And now we know that that has been struck down in this nation by the Supreme Court. But abortion still happens. It happens really in all 50 states. Even in the states that have outlawed abortion, women can still call up and order abortifacients and have them shipped to their home. There are businesses in the United States that will do this. And I know the FDA has said, well, you can't do this, can't ship it across state lines. We don't know that that's not still happening. And we do know that it is still happening across from out of the country. The U.S. Postal Service is not stopping it. FedEx is not stopping the deliveries. UPS is not stopping the deliveries. We still have the killing of innocent blood, the shedding of innocent blood in our land. We've seen pornography. And boy, you know, at one point, pornography was very mild compared to what it is today. And the accessibility of pornography is just through the roof with electronic devices. Lust continuing to push more and more indiscretion. I mean, you can't go to a major news website without reading about some actress that took a vacation and was dressed really in a way that is inappropriate, but it's being promoted and lauded there. In 1980, Stone versus Graham decision, the Supreme Court removed the Ten Commandments from public schools because, and by the way, the Supreme Court has the Ten Commandments on its doors and above where they sit, and yet they said, well, someone might look at it and obey it. Well, wouldn't it be bad if we didn't have kids killing other kids? Obviously, I'm being facetious there. In 2003, in Lawrence versus Texas, the Supreme Court ruled that, and by the way, the Supreme Court actually created a right of privacy that was actually the foundation of Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton. And they applied that same right of privacy to homosexuality and said, well, this is what should happen. Then you had the Massachusetts gay marriage. The Supreme Court struck down their law and ordered the legislature to act. And the legislature failed to act. And Republican Governor Romney, who we later were told, well, we need to vote for him because he's a Republican. He actually, by executive order, legalized same-sex marriage in Massachusetts. We know the U.S. Supreme Court, many states, including even California and Hawaii, had passed constitutional amendments defining marriages between one man and one woman. Florida did this as well. And the U.S. Supreme Court struck those amendments down. They're still in the Constitution of the state of Florida. It's still there. We also have seen really pushing of really strange things of schools and even under some political administration saying, well, boys can go into and be on the girls' swim team and go into the girls' locker room. Really crazy things. And in some states, there's even where kids can go to school as a boy and come home as a girl or vice versa. This is really wrong. We've seen a breakdown in families. The name of God being used in vain. I mean, it's even Christians are using God's name in vain. one of the most popular abbreviations on social media is OMG, which stands for Oh My God, which is a violation of one of the Ten Commandments. We've seen people actually violating God's commandments. And the church also is not guiltless either, because in the church, we have removed the Word of God and the law of God from church. And certainly not every church. Certainly there are good churches that preach the full counsel of God, the whole scripture, call sin, sin, and call people to repent. You know what? If you never preach that something is a sin, how will someone who is a sinner know that they need to repent of that? The Bible tells us that the law of God is our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. If we remove the things that, you know, that there are people that say, well, you know, we don't want to talk about that because, you know, that's a controversial subject. Well, we need to preach the Word of God. We need to call sin, sin. We need to call for people to repent and call for people to return to God in prayer. And we need to get into the Bible. We need to read the Bible to develop a biblical worldview. We need to demand that our pastors preach the Word of God and call for people to repent. We ourselves need to repent. And we need to, as a nation, humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways and seek His face so that He might hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. We need another great awakening in this country. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When the earth rejoices for the Lord and the multitudes of the isles are glad.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
America has enjoyed peace and prosperity like no other nation. 9-1-1 showed us how vulnerable we are. America turned to God in prayer. Churches were filled on weekdays. The NFL canceled games. Republican and Democrat congressmen prayed together. How quickly we forgot God, though. This year, let us humble ourselves and pray, seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways, so that He might hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land.
If you're 5 to 10 years from retirement and thinking, am I on track? Don't guess. Get clear, simple guidance with Osprey Retirement Radio with Eric Hutter. Saturday mornings at 10 and again at 10 p.m. here on WCNO.
This is Reverend Dave Boston, and I invite you to join us every Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. for Follow His Sandals.
This show is about practical keys to help all of us walk more closely with our Lord Jesus Christ to become better disciples.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.